It's time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up, post-game reaction after Game 3 of the NLCS, where the Braves have fallen 6-5 in this first game in L.A. Caleb Johnson and with my co-host Joe Patrick. And I will, before I turn things over to you, Joe, I will tell the people you are getting raw, unfiltered reaction from the two of us. We have not talked about anything. We hardly even texted throughout the game, just for a brief moment. So you and I have not really gotten to speak about this. And, well, I guess the one thing we did text about was me sending you one just about 10, 15 minutes ago saying, I really don't even want to do this. This is not a fun night. How are you feeling about this?
It's not good. I mean, sports, right?
Like, yeah.
The last two games were like unbridled joy and euphoria. And now you get this, you know, it sucks. It's really terrible. Total gut punch. The knife is twisted in my, like, it's just all, you know, all the bad things.
Yeah.
Because you can't help but think about what could be when you're in that situation. The Braves were in late in that game. You've got a 3-run lead. Hell, you were thinking about possibly stretching it to like not even being a save situation. You had some opportunities there in the end, and a guy in Luke Jackson comes out to pitch for you, and he's been money for the most part, like for so much of the season, so much of this postseason. He did have a little hiccup, you know, in the last game. He gave up the double in game two. But oh man, it's just tough. I'm seeing like the Twitter reaction to it also, and that's like kind of making it worse for me. Like, it's just like making me more angry, just like seeing lots of takes. The Braves are still winning the series 2-1. It really doesn't feel like that, you know. Like, I'll be the first to admit it. Like, it doesn't feel like you're winning a series and you're in good position and all that stuff. But we can talk about that later. I need to pass it back off to you because I'm just getting heated right now. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm angered. I'm frustrated. And I guess I'm with you, and I am equally as frustrated. And I had to, right after the Cody Bellinger's home run, I had to get off Twitter.
Yeah.
Just because what a toxic place right now. And the where blame is being placed right now is also very frustrating.
Yeah.
I understand if in hindsight it is looked at that, well, why did you send Luke Jackson out there when you're right, the last game wasn't his best stuff. He had been hit up a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, I received a text from a friend of mine right after that happened, which read, why is Luke Jackson on this roster? And and it's just, well, I can point to 181 games as the reason why Luke Jackson was not only on this roster, but why he was in the game at that moment. It's the same reason why during the Milwaukee series, we looked at it and we went, wow, Snit is really throwing these guys out again and again and again and again. This seems like it's a bad idea. It's a recipe for disaster. But here's the thing. Those guys performed every single one of those games, minus what I think it was Luke or was it Matzik that had a bad performance that ended up going early in the Milwaukee series. But outside of a hiccup or two, like, these are the guys who have proven all season they were going to step up for this team. And so the only frustration that I have is between Luke Jackson and Travis d'Arnaud as to why a high fastball was thrown at Cody Bellinger when you saw the pitch, like the hack that Bellinger took, the swing before that. That's what he was looking for. Yeah, he was looking for something to drive out of the ballpark, so much so that that first swing was I can't remember if it was the first swing, but the hack that he had was so embarrassing. He dropped down to a knee. So that is the one time when I just feel like even if you walked the guy just to keep it away from him, because you know what he can do in that moment, that's the part that leaves me frustrated. I think there's also a part of this that there was something too telling, and it's going to be a problem if the Braves want to advance and go on to face a Houston or a Boston. There's a problem when this moment happens and it feels over.
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, Joe?
Like, yeah.
There's something about the fact that Luke Jackson letting that home run go, and you just feel like, well, and the game was tied at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you get Jesse Chavez coming in. He doesn't have his best stuff. And ultimately, you're losing this game. I think just part of the frustration is that I've seen this Braves team really like come from behind and pull things out that have been really impressive. And I was frustrated to see just the lack of spirit of like, let's get back in this thing after that play. And I think that adds to the feeling of defeat and of we're right back where we were a year ago.
Yeah, I'm not totally comfortable like speaking about the reaction and everything at this moment, because I don't want to come off as like paternalistic for, you know, having a different viewpoint than some people do in their reactions to what sure. happened. Let me just go back to the pitch that the home run that Cody Bellinger hit. I'm kind of with you that I would prefer not to throw a high fastball there. I would say that fastball was like extraordinarily high. And
it was. It really was. It is
a testament to Cody Bellinger that he was able to actually kind of put that kind of get that swing on that ball. Most of the time, that's getting whiffed on. First of all, if you're getting a swing, if not, it's probably getting fouled off. It's just very hard to get the bat in that position to hit that ball.
Sure.
But to your point, I also agree where you've got the count. Was it 1-2? Was it a 1-2 count? I think. Something
honestly,
like that.
I honestly can't remember.
I know Luke was ahead in the count and he had pitches to give, and that's why he was throwing the ball way up there, because he was trying to get a swing and a miss. And I would have just rather him, you know, try to spike a couple slider, you know, a couple of his sliders that he's known for as his strikeout pitch. So, you know, the fastball is typically the pitch that he gives up the home runs on. And, an elevated fastball is one that can easily go out like that.
Yeah. Well, so also I guess in defense of, like, that's what got him in trouble a game ago and kind of got things like out of hand for Luke Jackson, at least in game two, was the fact that he spiked, you know, that off speed. And then he got like really afraid of doing that again and having Travis having to kind of, you know, be ready essentially.
Yeah.
As Travis showed all night once again that he has that ability to go and get balls. But that
maybe that was a consideration with two runners on base. You know, you don't want to potentially throw a wild pitch there and have runners move two runners into scoring position. You know, that's just tough. I mean, it's tough that happened. But yeah, I do just want to say, like, I'm kind of with you in terms of like the reaction about like Luke Jackson is like all of a sudden terrible and stuff like that. Like, I mean, this happened. No, it's actually kind of poetic in a sad way that I heard him speaking was it before game two, sometime here recently during this series, and he kind of, you know, they were talking to him about the bullpen and how great the bullpen has been this entire postseason for the Braves. And you know, he was saying, he was like, the bullpen's like an offensive line where it's like, if you don't hear about us, you know, if we just kind of slide under the radar, that's exactly what we want. And you, if somebody's talking about the bullpen, it's usually not for a good reason. I mean, the Braves have been getting a lot of talk. The Braves bullpen's been getting a lot of talk here recently for good reasons, but you know, in general, that is the thing. And, that's kind of what happened with Luke Jackson today. Is like, he gave up the bomb, you know, and that happens. That it does happen. And again, this is where I don't want to sound like I'm being paternalistic and saying like, well, you just got to get used to it because sometimes pitchers give up runs and then you lose the game, you know, like no one wants to hear that. Or, and I don't like, that's not even what I mean to say. It's just that, again, I kind of go back to the top of what I was saying. It's like, this is friggin' sports, and it's why it gives us so much joy at the highs and it gives us so much pain when it's at its lows like this. And I can actually get lower than this. So prepare yourself. Maybe. But you know, it's just like, this feeling right now is just really, really terrible. And you know, you got to think, like, Dodgers fans may have been feeling this type of way, you know, a couple of days ago, because you know, you could argue that the team that maybe should have won every game in this series has not. The Braves kind of pulled two games out of their ass in the first two games. And the Braves, I think, were clearly the better team, obviously, in this game after Charlie Morton settled down after that first inning. And obviously, we know what happened there. So, you know, it's just been a crazy series like that. And I think if you are looking for any good news out of this thing, which I know it's like, you know, you don't even want to bring that up sometimes, but the Dodgers did use 9 pitchers in this game. Like, they really were in desperation mode after Walker Buehler came out of this game. So, you know, that you, I think you're in a probably a better position than them as far as the bullpen situation goes. But after something like this happens today, you got to wonder, you know, are you willing to use Luke Jackson? Like, he didn't look as good today as he has. And you just wonder if maybe, you know, you've been saying it, Caleb, like, you're just like surprised that these guys are being used every single game. And some of them literally have been used in every single game.
Yeah.
And Luke Jackson, Tyler Matzek specifically are two of those guys. So, you know, you do wonder if maybe you need to have a plan to not have those guys in, at least in those situations, that deep in the game. But I don't know, it's just a tough one.
All right, let's talk about the good. Cause I mean, as much as it feels very fake, I guess, to be like, well, there were some good things a part of this game. There honestly was. One of the big things is, once again, the Dodgers have used a ton of pitching. And look, I will be as blunt as I possibly can. If the Braves are going to win this series, they're being gifted opportunities offensively with the fact that I mean, you want to talk about Luke Jackson being used in every single game. The fact that the Dodgers have gone, what, like 8 pitchers the first game? I think it was, what, 7 in game 2 and 9 tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you throw in the fact that game 2, they used 2 starters.
Yeah.
You know, so like the opportunities are there just as much for the Braves offensively as they are for the Dodgers, because game 4, it looks like, from everything that Brian Snitker has said, that this is going to be a bullpen game. I mean, it's essentially going to be a bullpen game as well for the Dodgers, because Urias, you know, pitched in game 2, so he's not going to be able to go real long.
Right.
So, you know, I guess it's one of those things are relatively even, except the Braves actually do lead in this series, even though it doesn't feel like that. And I think that here's the other big thing that is going to get swept over, of course, in this one, is the fact that you got Freddie Freeman back. Like,
yeah,
Freddie Freeman looked as consistent as back to his regular ways,
super sharp,
as he possibly could. And that could only bode well when I think, like, because here's part of where my mind keeps going, and I know it's just going to happen. for Braves fans and just for anyone who cares about this series in general. Everyone is going to start looking at this series, looking at last year, looking at this series, looking at last year. Mm-hmm. All right. The bats went really cold last year. The Braves lost that game three, 15-3. Okay. It was a blowout. It felt terrible from the start. I know in this moment right now, like, this sucks because the Braves had this one in hand and it got ripped from them right at the end, rather than never feeling like they had a chance, where that's where the Braves were in game three a year ago. It's just different. Like, I don't know how to express that enough.
Caleb, I think that's a great point. And I got to say, I think we would not be feeling as despondent as we feel right now if we had just lost 15-3.
Yeah.
If we had just lost 15-3, we'd be saying, you sweep it under the rug, you get on for tomorrow, you'd go out and you win game four and you put yourself up 3-1, et cetera, et cetera, which is exactly what the Braves did last year. But mm-hmm. it's the way that this team lost, clearly, that is the big gut punch. It's the, because you can't help yourself. You cannot help yourself but think about yourself being 3 games up, you know? And I'm not saying the Braves players or anything did that, but just as a fan, that's why when your emotions turn in such a drastic way, it makes you feel like crap, like we feel right now. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because it is true. It makes it the emotions of this moment that we're feeling right now makes it harder to see the forest for the trees, you know, like, it makes it harder to see the bigger picture of what is going on for this team. And you're right. Like, Freddie Freeman back on track. This was your best offensive game of the series, which is something that we knew had to turn. We knew that these Braves bats had to turn on if they wanted to really go far and win this series. So you got some of the things that you wanted to see out of this game. You didn't get the start probably that you would have liked from Charlie Morton, although the end result was not so bad. What'd he go, five innings, two earned runs? You looked like he was going to get in a lot of trouble, and you almost wondered for a second whether he was going to make it out of, you know, the first, second inning, but he did settle down and gave you generally, a decent performance. So it wasn't all bad in this game, but it just leaves more, you know, the way that it ended obviously leaves questions for, you know, how the bullpen should or will be managed in these upcoming games. But tomorrow is going to be a crazy one, because obviously, you know, a game four in this situation is a huge one, you know, whether you go into game five up 3-1 or tied 2-2. But also, as you were talking about with Julio Urias, you know, the pitching situation for the Dodgers and the Braves is up in the air right now. I mean, Urias will probably be able to pitch, you know, I would just kind of throw it out there, maybe like 80 pitches, something like that, in that range. And we'll see how it goes when he throws there tomorrow. But, you know, he threw a relief outing between his starts. And when Max Scherzer just did that, he said he came out in his start and said like his arm felt dead. Julio Urias is a different guy, so you never know how his arm will feel. But that's always something that could happen. For the Braves, we don't even know who's going to be the starter yet. I'm assuming we'll find that out relatively soon here this evening, if not tomorrow morning. But, you know, it's going to be a wild game. And I think that the fact that you did get the bats going should give you a little bit of optimism going into that game, that you can do damage and that you don't have to get some miracle, you know, bullpen game where you only give up 2 runs or something in the game. I think that this game should give fans some confidence that this team can score, which they haven't been doing as of late.
Here's something else, Joe, that I wonder about. I never questioned the fact that Brian Snicker wanted to get Charlie Morton on full rest. So, of course, going with Max Fried, then Ian Anderson, then Charlie tonight. Knowing how this game ended now, and of course, we always, you know, playing hindsight 2020 is, you know, something we like to do all the time. How does it feel knowing that Charlie can't come back and help you, at least I would think he can't help you the next 2 games. Is that a concern to you at all?
I'm sorry, who were you saying?
Charlie Morton. Like, the fact that he was used tonight, 96 pitches.
Yeah. I think you're all right. I mean, you've got
Well, because I think, like, if we're realistic, if this thing is going six or seven,
yeah,
he's going to come back on short rest. Yeah. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that I don't think he can help you these next two games.
For sure. For sure.
Is that a big deal, knowing that if they had flipped, and he had pitched on short rest in game two, like playing that hindsight game, is that going, like, how big of an issue do you feel like that is, or does it matter at all?
No, I mean, it's fine with me. I think that, if you want to look at it, I think maybe you would have to see how it might affect him to having thrown this many pitches, because I think he would come back for a game seven start. I think that that's like why you have a guy like Charlie Morton, who would pitch in that kind of huge pressure situation. It wasn't great seeing, like, the command was not there from him today, just like it hasn't really been for his two starts in the postseason so far. So I think that that is a legitimate concern. And it was especially concerning to see how he started today, considering he was on an extra day's rest. You know, I thought the extra day rest would have him in a lot better shape. Just, you know, the shape of his pitches and everything like that would have been much better than it was. Again, it turned out he kind of settled in and he was okay. But I do wonder, especially just seeing how, you know, he pitched in the Brewer series, where he pitched on short rest in that game four clincher. It doesn't give you a huge amount of confidence of him coming back in game seven, but obviously he's going to be your guy, so you're just going to kind of roll with them. So we'll have to go there. I mean, I'm seeing in the comments, the reason I was like, I had to re-ask you, because I was reading some of the comments and everyone's like, why is Snicker throwing Luke Jackson there, etc. And stop, I don't know it. I don't know who else you would throw there. Like, would you rather see Will Smith? Would you rather see, like, Oscar Yanoa situation?
I think people might be wondering, with as many times as Jesse Chavez got up in that game, I still think there is just something about the consistency that this bullpen has had. And look, all the numbers have been thrown out about how good this bullpen has been through this playoff series, that is the frustrating part of playing the hindsight game, is going, well, why'd he throw Luke out there at that point? Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's been working.
It's not like Luke has been like kind of lucking his way through these appearances. He's generally been strong. I think the last one, game two, that was the first time we saw like a chink in the armor where he gives up a hit, you know, like, yeah. Aside from that, he's been pretty much locking things down.
I think part of it too, is just that it's one of those, it gets me back to, some of the earlier stuff that people had with Will Smith, is, you know, Will Smith going out there is solid 95% of the time and then has a blown save. And, you know, everybody is questioning Snit in that moment. And I'm more on the, like, I'm angry at Luke Jackson.
Yeah, I'm angry at Luke Jackson too, by the way. You know, I'm not saying like you should be like content with what happened here at all, you know.
No, like that is my thing. I'm not mad at Brian Snicker, because like Snit's going with his guys. Yeah. He's going with his guys who have proven it so far this season. And while Jesse Chavez is a part of guys who have proven themselves valuable as of recent, he's still not a part of the guys that Brian Snicker has been leaning on 7, 8, 9. All season. Like, it even takes me back to what happens tonight with the game on the line for Dave Roberts. He's going to Kenley Jansen. Guess who blew the game in game two? Mm-hmm. Kenley Jansen. Like, it's just one of those, you know, I'm sorry, folks. Like, you take this however you need to take it, because honestly, I'm angry too. I'm frustrated too. You blame whoever you need to blame. I'm just telling you, I don't think you need to be blaming Brian Snicker, because that's too easy of a target. Yeah. Blame Luke Jackson for not performing, or as he should be going to be called again. He should be called 77 again. Thank you, Randy McMichael, because he doesn't deserve his name right now, just because it's just utterly frustrating. However,
Let me add one thing. If you don't mind, like, I think that there's something particularly frustrating to everybody, myself, you, and I think all Braves fans, that it was Luke Jackson of all people that this happened to, because
yes,
he is a guy who has struggled, who has had kind of his fits and spurts with his Braves career. And he wasn't like a highly touted guy when he came to the Braves, but he kind of was able to figure out a slider that worked for him. And then he had his struggles, and he's, you know, again, he's just been a streaky kind of guy. So I think that just people, like, if it was Tyler Matzek that gave that up, I don't think there would be quite the same level of rage about the person who gave up the homer.
Well, I think that there's only two people who this outrage would have happened: Luke Jackson and Will Smith.
Agreed.
If Will had done this in the ninth, then everyone would be going, see, this is exactly why we shouldn't be trusting him.
Because everybody has seen this kind of before at one point or another, you know?
Yeah, and that's honestly, like, that's, folks, that's what it is you've seen the bad of Luke Jackson in the past. However, like, I'm telling you, over 181 games and through this playoff series to this point, he's been good enough that you could trust him.
When a quarterback doesn't get sacked, nobody points out the offensive line. Yeah. They point out how great the quarterback, you know, it's just like, that's just how it is, you know?
Yeah. It's frustrating. I don't know, Joe, I feel like I'm running out. I've given my positives. I've given my blames. Game four, as we've talked about.
I will take some blame as well, because I was watching this with some people, some friends. You know, you take in the sports game with your friends. And I had to come back to do this show, so I was like, all right, I'm going to leave in the eighth inning. And as soon as I left the spot where I was, crap hit the fan. Well, so I'm not going to, you know, I will shoulder some of this blame as well.
Well, look, if you're going to take some of this blame, I got to at least half it with you, because I will be honest, what was happening to me before that home run was hit. I was looking up flights to Boston, and I was looking up flights to Houston, because I was just curious to check the market, see what those are going for right now.
You maybe deserve some more blame than I do.
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, I was definitely.
And pulled that move with the Falcons once.
I did the same thing too. And so, look, obviously that's part of it. The Atlanta curse is, of course, going to get talked about.
Yeah. That's the one thing I wanted to talk about before we get out of here
go ahead.
I want people to get it out tonight. You know, like, get it Please out do. Of your system.
Please do.
I'm just, you know, use this time however you need to. If you need to get off Twitter, get off Twitter. If you need to get on Twitter and throw some shit, then do that. But can we please go into tomorrow and not be like a fatalist the entire game? You know, if whoever starts tomorrow gives up a run in the first or second inning, and maybe the Braves are down by a run or two early, like they were today, like, we don't just start acting childish. Like, that's really the thing that drives me up a wall. And I get it. Like, I've been through all the pain that everybody else has as well. So I'm not trying, again, when I talk about this, I really am trying not to sound like a parent, like, telling their kids how to feel, but, like, please, like, it would just be a much more enjoyable experience, I think, for everybody. If we can go into tomorrow with a little bit of hope and realism that, you know, the Braves are up to one in the series and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe, because I think I am bad about wanting to tell people how to feel and how not to feel. And so that is when I get into this mode of, like, look, I'll tell you what I think, and you derive from that what you want. I just think it's a dangerous place to be, and it's not an enjoyable place to be.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of it too, is when the curse gets brought up, when all of these, well, look at this and look at this and look at this. Sports is supposed to be fun. And so as easy as it is for me to look back at what happened last year, and for me to look at the Falcons Super Bowl, and for me to look at the Georgia National Championship and anything else that you want to rope in with Atlanta or Georgia sports, at the same time, at some point we got to move on, folks, or we're losing the point of sports, which is it's supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to be fun. And so it might be really difficult for you, or it might be really easy for you to fall in line with woe is me, here we go again sort of thing, but at least try to hold out on that until if there is a negative outcome for this Braves team, and we'll address it then.
Remember what we said earlier when Caleb brought up that last year losing game 15-3. You know, like, just remember that, you know, it could be worse. It feels worse now because of the way it happened than it actually is. So I guess that's all I'll say. Maybe we can leave it there, because I, for one, will not be partaking in Twitter. I will be logging off and resuming my Braves and like everything, you know, my Braves experience tomorrow.
Yeah. You know what, Joe? I wonder if I can go back to, do you remember, it's been years ago.
Actually, I have to put some sound tonight, don't I? After that, at least.
Yeah. But do you remember back in the day when you could, before smartphones, when you could send a tweet from your phone, you could text it.
Yeah,
you could text the Twitter number and it knew it was associated your phone number with your account, and it would tweet for you. You know, I wonder if I could do that still now, because I definitely still have Twitter saved in my contacts. And so just as far as like me getting on Twitter and just wanting to like say things, I might tweet through my phone instead of getting on the actual app.
I need an app that where I can just send tweets, but I don't have to actually see my timeline at all. So that
you could do that.
I guess. So anyway,
we're just throwing random thoughts out at this point. Look, Braves are up 2-1.
It sucks.
Yeah.
But they're up 2-1.
Yeah, Braves are up 2-1. Optimist side is they could win the next two, which would also give the opportunity for Max Fried to have a series-clinching win if they're able to win tomorrow. I know I'm looking down the road, but I'm just trying to give you some optimism before we get out of here, because it is not all doom and gloom, although it just really feels like it because the Braves lose a close one 6-5. Also, don't forget for this game 4, it is an 8 o'clock start instead of the 5 o'clock start that it was today. That is going to play into the sun and the shadows. Those are all not going to be as big of a deal as they were today. I know I'm going to come into this one tomorrow relaxed, Joe Patrick, because my wife has bought us a package to go do yoga with elephants at the Atlanta Zoo. So that is my way of coping, and I didn't even know it was going to feel this stressful going into game 4.
Perfect timing, right?
It really is. And to anyone watching or listening, I would advise you to go do something relaxing before this game 4, and let's enjoy it, because like we said, the Braves are 2 up. They're still in the driver's seat of this thing, and we've got a long ways to go in this one. So I'm just throwing out all of the positive energy that I can stand to muster as I started this on a very doom and gloom and low moment.
I feel better. I feel like we talked through some things tonight. So, tomorrow will be a better day.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, I think that's probably about it, right?
Yep. Yeah, we can get out of here.
Awesome. Well, thanks for everybody watching on Facebook Live and anyone downloading the podcast. For my co-host Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. You've been watching Batter Up.